B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yom Daf Pei Hei. We're going to start 12 lines from the top of the Amud. And the Gemara is taking us back to the Mishnah on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. At the end of the Mishnah said, Misha noflo lov ma'poiles, if a building collapsed on top of a person, sofik husham, sofik einesham, it's not clear whether he's there or not, sofik chai, sofik meis, we don't know if he's alive or not, sofik kuti, sofik israel, we don't know if it's a yid or a goy, then mefachin olav es hagal, you're allowed to, and you have to clear away the heap of building of rubble on top of this person to save him. Says the Gemara, mi shenofal olav mapoiles v'chulu. Says the Gemara, maika omar. The Mishnah mentioned a whole load of different doubts, a whole load of sveikas, sofik sham, sofik enisham, sofik chai, sofik meis, sofik kuti, sofik israel. How do we work all this out? Says the Gemara as follows, loy mi boyek omar. The Mishnah is actually telling us the extent that we can be lenient, so to speak, that even if there's a number of uncertainties, and not just a single uncertainty, that even then one is allowed to break the Shabbos in order to remove to dig out the person from the rubble. Loi mi boya sofik husham sofik einisham. That which we can take for granted, that if there's only one doubt, is he there, is he not there? De'i isya chayhu, but in the event that he is there, he's certainly still alive, de'mefakhin, then of course we can clear the rubble. Elo afilu sofik chay sofik meis, but even if there's also a doubt, that means not only do we know if he's there or not, but there's a doubt, even if he's there, is he alive, is he dead? Nonetheless, mefakhin, you can still clear it away. And not only if there's a doubt, not only if he's there or not, and if he's alive or not, the Yisrael, but we know for certain that we're talking about a Yisrael, then you clearly have to clear the rubble. El afilu sofik kuti sofik Yisrael. Even if, on top of all that, you don't know if he's there. If he's there, you don't know if he's dead or alive. And you don't even know if he's there, if he's Yisrael or a goy. Even in that case, mefakhin, you still have to clear away the rubble. Continues the Gemara. The next statement in the Mishnah, Matsu'uhu chai mefakhin. If you find him and you can see that he's still alive, then of course you continue to dig him out and bring him to safety. Asks the Gemara, Matsu'uhu chai, if you find him and he's still alive, pshita, you take that for granted, that you take out this person straight away and save his life. What's the Mishnah coming to teach us? Says the Gemara, loy, it's not so posh, tzricha, the Mishnah has to tell us, da'filu l'chai isha, even if it's clear to you that this person is not going to survive for any length of time, he's very soon going to die anyway, you're still supposed to continue to be mechalal Shabbos to save his life, even if he's only going to live for a short time. Continues the Gemara, that in the Mishnah it says, V'im meis yanichuhu. If as you're trying to undig this person, you realize this person is no longer alive, leave him. You're not allowed to then continue to undig him. It's not necessary. It's Chilul Shabbos. You have nothing to gain from it. Asks the Gemara, Honami Pshita. This is also obvious. If he's dead, why should it be mutter to be Mechal Shabbos to take out the body? Wait till after Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Loi, Tzricha Elo l'Rabbi Yehuda ben Lokish. There's an interesting opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lokish in a Braisa, and according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lokish, there's an element of Chiddush that you don't continue to bring out this person. The Tani we learnt in the Braisa. Ein matzilin es hameis mipnei adeleiko. The Tanakhama say that if there's a fire, chas v'shalom, and there's a dead person there, a corpse, is at risk of being burnt, you're not allowed to move the corpse. The corpse is mukta. You're not allowed to move him to save him from the fire. Om Rabbi Yehuda ben Lokish. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lokish says, Shomati, I heard, Shomatzilin es hameis mipnei adeleika. You are allowed to move the corpse to save him from the fire, even though there's an is of mukta. And the Gemara is telling us that according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lokish, that you're allowed to save a corpse from the fire. I may have thought that for the same token, if a building collapsed on top of a dead person, well, he was alive, now he's dead, you're allowed to continue to take out the person from under the rubble, like you're allowed to save the corpse from the fire. That's what the Mishnah is coming to say. No. Emes, if he's dead, Yanichuhu, don't take him out. And now the Gemara is going to explain, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, why there should be a difference between saving a corpse from a fire and taking the corpse out from under the rubble. The fil Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, loika omar, when Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish only said you're allowed to remove the corpse in order that it shouldn't burn, elo mitoich she'odam bohul al meso. It's only because a person is going to get very confused and desperate to try and save this corpse from getting burnt. Eloi shorislein, if you're not going to allow him to override the issa of mukta and save the corpse, osi lechabuya, he's going to come and extinguish the flames. And that was much more serious. And we know that kibui, extinguishing a fire, in some circumstances could be a biblical issa, could be a melacha d'oraisa, and therefore they preferred to override mukta than to cause a person to possibly come to extinguish a flame. And the Mefarashim discussed that in this particular case, if he does extinguish the flame to save the body, it could be its only Issa d'Rabbanon, but however, it's getting very close to doing the Issa d'Oraisa of extinguishing, and therefore the Chachomim said, rather let him save the body than take that risk. Aval Hocha, but in the case of the building that collapsed on this person, Eloi Shorusle, if we're not going to permit him and not allow him to remove the body from under the rubble, Maisli Lemevad, we've got nothing to be scared of. What can he do next? Like, what would he do as a result when it comes to saving him from the fire? If you don't let this person save the corpse, he's going to extinguish the fire, which is worse. Over here, if you don't let him take the corpse out from under the rubble, what's he going to do instead to try and protect this person who's now dead? And since there's nothing to be worried about, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish agrees, don't take the corpse out from under the rubble, leave it there till after Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Ad Heichon Hu Boidik. We're in the middle of digging out this person, and we either start finding his head or we start finding his feet, wherever it is, and we're slowly taking the rubble off this person. At what point will we be able to determine that this person is alive or dead? Says the Braiser, Ad Choytmoy, up to his nose. His nose is where you can see the signs of life. He's breathing. You get to his nose, you can tell. Is he breathing? Is he not breathing? If he's breathing, he's alive. If he's not breathing, he's dead. V'yesh Oimrim, others say Ad Liboy, until his heart. That as soon as you get to his heart, you can check if there's a heartbeat. If his heart is pulsating, his heart is beating, he's alive. If not, not. Another halacha, says the Braisa, Bodaku motzo elyoinim mesim. If you had a building that collapsed on a number of people, and you've checked the upper ones, those who are relatively high up in the pile of rubble, and you see that those bodies on the top layer of rubble are dead, lo yoimar, don't say kva mesu atachtoinim, it's sure and taken for granted that the ones who are lower are certainly dead. No. You should continue digging up the people in case there's somebody underneath that is still alive. And Maisahoya, there was once an incident, Umotsu Elyoinim Mesim, and the people who were higher up were dead, Vatachtoinim Chaim, but the ones who were lower down were still found alive. And now the Gemara says, this machlokes that we saw in the Braisa, whether you check for the person is alive from the breathing that you see from his nose or from the heartbeat, seems to be a machlokes tanoim. Neima, should we say that hani tanoi, ki hani tanoi, the two tanoim in the Braisa, tanakama that it depends on the nose, the yesh omrim it depends on the heart, are actually arguing similarly to the tanoim in another Braisa, the tanya we learnt in a Braisa. Meheichon avlad noitzar. The Braisa discusses from what point, from where is a fetus formed. Miroishoi, the Tanakhama says the fetus is formed from his head. Shenemer, it says in the Pasuk, Mime'ei imi ato goizi, that from my mother's womb, you pulled me out. The Pasuk in Tehillim, Va'omer, and there's another Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Gozi nizreich v'hashlichi, pull out your hair and throw it away. And in the same way as in this second Pasuk, the word Gozi is referring to a person's head, the hair on his head, then also in that first pasuk in Tehillim that says, Mime'ei imi ato goizi, what it means is that in my mother's womb, you formed me from my head. So this is the Tanakhama in the Braisa that says that a person was first formed from his head. Abba Shaul argues and says, Mitiburoi, that fetus is formed starting from his navel, the center of his body. Umashaleach sharoshov eilech va'eilech, and sends out its roots in all directions. That means, according to the Tanakhama, the fetus is formed from its head. So we assume that the vital signs that he's alive is in the nose, in the head. However, according to Abba Shaul, that a fetus was formed from the navel, from the center of his body, it makes sense that you should check whether the person is alive from his heart, which is in the center of his body. And says the Gemara, no. There's no reason to believe that the two Tanoim are arguing with the same thing. Afilotema Abba Shaul. It could be that even according to Abba Shaul, that says that a person, a fetus is created, is first formed from its navel, nonetheless he'll agree that Adkan Oikoma Abba Shaul, Hosam Elol Inyan Netzira. Abba Shaul was only talking about the formation of the fetus. To call midi mimetziase mitzar, because everything is formed from its center. And all other parts are just put around the center, like we saw. Mushaleach sharoshov, eilech va'eilech. Aval inyan pikuach nefesh. But regarding the saving life and finding those signs of those vital signs of life, afil Abba Shaul moide, even Abba Shaul will agree, the ikach yusa ba'apehu, that his main life is from his nose. As it says in the pasuk, koila shenishmas ruach chaim ba'apov, all those whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, of everything that was on dry land, died. That's talking about the mabul. So you see that the nishmas ruach chaim, that the spirit of life is ba'apov in his nose, in his nostrils. So you've got this pasuk that says that irrespective of where the fetus was actually formed from, life sits with the breathing and is determined from the nose. And now let's go back to that first braisa. We saw that according to the Tanakhama, you check this body from his nose. According to Yesh Oimrim, you check from the heart. Omer of Popper, and Rav Popper is now adding on and saying that machleikus mimato lemalo, the whole machleikus, whether you check to the heart or to the nose, is only when you start from the bottom of the body. You started undigging this person, and his legs were discovered, and then you slowly started taking away the stones and the rubble on top of him. You got to his heart. You check, is the heart beating? He's certainly alive. If the heart is not beating, that's the question. Is it clear that he's dead because his heart is not beating? Or do we say, continue to the nose and only then determine whether he's alive or dead? So Rav Popper says, the whole machlekes is only when you start from the bottom to the top, then according to Tanakhama, you have to go all the way to the nose before you know that he's dead. According to Yesh Oimrim, once you get to the heart and there's no heartbeat, you can assume he's dead. Aval mimailo lemato. But if you start undigging him from his head, everybody agrees that kiven debodek kliat choitmoy shuvei neitzorich. If he's not breathing, he's definitely dead. Which means everybody agrees that if he's not breathing, he's dead. The question is, if there's no heartbeat, or if you can't see and feel the heartbeat from the outside, is that also a reason that he's definitely dead? That's the machlekes tanoim. And what would be the source that if he's not breathing, he's definitely dead? The chesiv says in the pasuk, we mentioned it before, koila shenishmas ruach chaim ba'apov, and from this pasuk we see that the life sits in the nostrils with the breathing. Continues the Gemara. Ukvar hoyo Rebbe Shmuel v'Rebbe Akiva v'Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria. These are three Tanoim. Mahalchim baderech, they were traveling on the way. V'Levi Hasador, Rashi says he doesn't know why he was given this name. V'Rebbe Shmuel b'Noish Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria. Mahalchim achareim, they were following behind the three Tanoim, Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Akiva, and Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria. Nish'alo sheila zu bifnim. The following question was asked before them, and it's not clear exactly before who. But there were now three people, three Tanoim, who were being followed by another two Tanoim, and the following question was posed. Minayin pikuach nefesh edoiches ha-shabos. We've just learnt at length that in order to save life, saving life overrides the melochus of Shabbos. Rather, break Shabbos, then risk somebody's life. What would be the source from the Torah to such a halacha? So the three Tanoim that we mentioned, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, they each had their own idea of where in the Torah we know this from. Na ne Rabbi Shmuel, va'omar Rabbi Shmuel spoke up first and said, that we have a kal v'chomer. The pasuk says, "Im b'machteres yimotzei aganef." If somebody is tunneling his way, is burrowing his way through into somebody else's property, he's called a baba machteres. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's coming to steal money. And the halacha is that if you find somebody who's coming to steal and he's coming through a tunnel, then if you kill him, then you're not considered a murderer. Why? You're saving your life. This person, this thief, if you're going to fight him off, he might end up killing you. That's what it says in the pasuk, "Im b'machteres yimotzei haganav." And now the Gemara says, "Kal v'chomer, umaze." If this thief, when it's a suffix, is he coming to steal money or is he coming to murder? And we know that ushvichas domim, that killing somebody is very, very serious. It's even more serious than Chilal Shabbos. Why? Because it's metameh se'oretz, it contaminates the land, v'goyrim l'shchina she'testalik mi'Yisrael, and causes the Shechina to go away from Klal Yisrael. That's how serious killing somebody is. And nonetheless, we say, nitin latziloi benafshoi, even though it's only a sofik pikuach nefesh, because it's a sofik whether the owner of this home is being threatened by death or not, because we don't know if the thief is coming just to steal money or whether he's also going to kill the owner. So it's a sofik pikuach nefesh, and we say, kill the thief in order to save your life. If you can transgress murder in order to save your life, which is only at risk misafik, then kal v'chomer lepikuach nefesh etoiches haShabbos. So even more so, we can take for granted that you can override Shabbos in order to save a life, because Shabbos is less serious than murder. We don't find by Shabbos that someone is mechalel Shabbos is metameh se'oretz v'goyrim l'shchina she'testalik mi'Yisrael. That was Rabbi Shmuel's source. Nana Rabbi Akiva v'Omar. Rabbi Akiva spoke up and had his own source. What does it say in the pasuk? V'chi yozid ish al re'eyu v'goymer me'im mizbechi tikochenu lomus. If a person intentionally murdered his friends, then we take this person in order to have him killed in the Beis Din. And even if he's by the Mizbeach, take him away in order to kill him, if assuming that the Beis Din are going to rule that he's deserving of death because he killed somebody. So what does it say in this pasuk? Me'im mizbechi. If he's come and he's about to start doing avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, then you take him away and we say, no, we're not letting you work, we're taking you to Beis Din. V'loy me'al mizbechi. However, if this person, the accused murderer, is already started doing avoda, then we say no. Then we say, let him finish the avoda, and then we'll take him to Beis Din. V'omar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Omer Rabbi Yechanan, who said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, lo yishonu elo lahomis. This is only true when we're taking him away to kill him, because he's a murderer. Then we say, if he hasn't started the avoda yet, we take him away straight away. If he's already started the avoda, we'll wait for him to finish. But what happens if this person who's already started the avoda, he's on the Mizbeach doing the avoda, and he has information, testimony, that could save somebody else from being killed, from being executed? If Reuven is in Beis Din and is being accused of murdering or being accused of doing something where he's deserving of being punished by death, and this person, this Kohen on the Mizbeach, he has information and testimony that would actually make that person not be killed, then afilu me'al mizbechi. Then even if he's in the middle of the avoda, he stops the avoda and he runs to Beis Din to try and save this person's life. So what do we see from here? Umaze, if this person, this Kohen, who has information that he assumes or could possibly save this person's life, she sofik yesh mamash bedvarov, sofik ein mamash bedvarov, he's not 100% sure whether his words will be received or not. Maybe the Beis Din will determine there's no substance in his words. Va'avoida doicha Shabbos, and avoida is even greater than Shabbos. Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash overrides Shabbos. There's many halachas of Shabbos that are overridden in the Beis HaMikdash. To do the avoida there on Shabbos, you can do Shechita, which is one of the Lamates Melachas, amongst others. So if you see that for Sofik Pikuach Nefesh, because you don't know if you're going to actually save this person's life, for Sofik Pikuach Nefesh, you can override avoida, and even if you're in the middle of working on the Mizbeach, you stop, then avoida, which is more stringent than Shabbos, because avoida is doichas Shabbos, then of course Sofik Pikuach Nefesh is going to override Shabbos. Kal v'chomer le Pikuach Nefesh is doichas Shabbos. Continues the Braisa, Nane Rebelozo, Rebelozo ben Azariah now spoke up and said as follows, V'omar, and he said as follows. A different source, Uma Mila, when it comes to Bris Mila, Shehi Echod Mimosayim Arboim Ushmoina Ivorim Sheba Odom, it's only one of the 248 limbs, Doich Es HaShabbos, even though normally you're not allowed to, you wouldn't be allowed to make an incision on Shabbos. Nonetheless, we learn, and it's a Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Beis that says that in order to be mesaken, to fix, so to speak, this one single organ, one's allowed to transgress an Issa of Shabbos and do the Bris Mila, Doiches HaShabbos, it overrides Shabbos. Kal v'chayme l'kol gufoy. Then we can take it for granted that if you can do something that will fix and save an entire body of 248 limbs, Shedoiches HaShabbos, of course that overrides Shabbos. So those were those three Tanoim, each had their own source. And now we're going to mention some other Tanoim who had another three Tanoim, another three different sources. Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we learn out from Es Shabbosai Tishmoiru. You should keep my Shabbosos. Yochel Lakel, I might have thought that everybody in all circumstances at all times have to keep all of Shabbos. And then we would assume that you have to keep Shabbos even if it will mean somebody's life is in danger. Talmud Lomer says in the Pasuk, Ach es Shabbosai Yisai Tishmoiru. The extra word Ach means only. Chilek. That tells us sometimes. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. And the way we understand that is that you always keep Shabbos unless you want to save somebody's life and then don't keep Shabbos. That's Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yonason ben Yosef Omer, he brings another source, the fifth source in the sugya. Because it says in the Pasuk regarding Shabbos, Ki kodesh hi lochem, that Shabbos is holy for you, to you. What does that mean? Hi masura b'yedchem, that Shabbos has been given over to you, to Klal Yisrael. V'loi atem masurim b'yodo, you've not been given over to Shabbos. Shabbos has been given over to you. If you would be given over to Shabbos, then it would mean that Shabbos has control of your lives. And if Shabbos says, don't do a melacha, you don't do a melacha, even if it will mean loss of life. But now that we know that Shabbos has been given to us, then that obviously means that we do not need to jeopardize or lose life for the sake of Shabbos. The sixth and the last of the Tanoim's sources, Reb Shimon ben Menasya Omer, that says in the Pasuk regarding Shabbos, V'shomru b'nei Yisrael es HaShabbos, that Klal Yisrael should observe, should keep Shabbos, La'asoyis es HaShabbos l'doyroysom, in order to keep Shabbos throughout the generations. Omra Torah, the Torah meant to say, Chilel olav Shabbos achas, k'dei sheyishmer Shabbos es harbe. It seems the Gemara is learning from the words, La'asoyis es HaShabbos, which means that the way to be shomer es HaShabbos is by making sure that you will always be able to be La'asoyis es HaShabbos in the future. It's better to violate a single Shabbos in order that all future Shabboses you'll be able to keep. If you don't violate Shabbos, this person will die. If he dies, he'll never be able to keep Shabbos again. So override Shabbos once or as many times as you need to in order that in the future he'll be able to keep many more mitzvahs. So those are the six sources of the Tanoim. And now we have Shmuel. Omer of Yodama Shmuel. Ihavoyi Hosom. If I would have been there with those Tanoim who were discussing it, Hava Amina, I would have said that Didi, the source that I'm about to tell you, Atifa Miditu, is even better than their source. What's the source? It says in the Pasuk, V'chai Bohem, that you should carry out the mitzvahs by which he should live. Mitzvahs are something that you only have to do mitzvahs when V'chai Bohem, when it's definite that you're going to stay alive. But if there's even a tiny doubt that doing the mitzvah is not going to be 100% V'chai Bohem, living by them, V'loi She'yomus Bohem, if there's even a small chance, even just a suffix, a doubt, a risk that a person will die because he's keeping the mitzvahs, then you override the mitzvahs in order to save a person's life. And now Omar Rava. Rava says, L'kulu hislu pircha. All the six sources of the Tanoim, there's actually a pircha, there's actually a refutation. Bar mida Shmuel, besides for the source of Shmuel, de lesli pircha, there's no refutation for that. Why? De Rebbe Shmuel. Because Rebbe Shmuel, who he gave, he was the first one, and the source that Rebbe Shmuel gave is that you learn it out from Im b'machteres yimotzei haganav, that if you can violate and transgress murder by killing this thief, even though it's a sofik pikuach nefesh, because we don't know that he's actually going to come and kill the owner if he doesn't, in the event that he gets challenged, we don't know if he's out to kill, and if he's only out to steal, it's not pikuach nefesh, and it's a sofik. Nonetheless, you can transgress murder by killing him, and we said kal v'chomer that you can transgress Shabbos, and Rava refutes that. Why? Dilma could a Rava. It could be, if you have the understanding of Rava as to why you can kill this thief, you'll understand that the case of this thief, it's not sofik pikuach nefesh. It's a vadai pikuach nefesh. We can assume on a 100% level, this thief is coming to kill. And if it's vadai pikuach nefesh, then you only have a source that you can be mechal Shabbos for vadai pikuach nefesh. For sofik pikuach nefesh, you don't have any source. The Omar Rava explained, my tama, the machteres, why did the Torah let a person kill this thief who's tunneling his way into a house? Because chazoka, we can presume, ein odom mai midatzmi al mamoinui, that the owner of the house is not just going to give up his money, he's going to fight for it. A person does not withhold himself from defending his property. V'hai, and this burglar, this thief, this robber, meida yoda, he knows, dekoi le'ape, that the owner is going to confront him. V'omar, and he says to himself, ikoi le'ape, if the owner does confront me, kotlinale, I'm going to kill him in order to be able to carry out my theft, to be able to do what I want to do. And since he's vadai that he's going to murder the owner, v'atayra om the Torah says, bo lehorgecha, hashkim lehorgei. If somebody's coming to kill you, then get there first and kill him first. And therefore, v'ashkechon vadai. And therefore, this bob machteres is considered a vadai roitzeach. And therefore, you only have a source that you can kill somebody in order to save vadai pikuach nefesh, and then we'll say kal v'chomer Shabbos, that you can override Shabbos when it's vadai pikuach nefesh. Sofik minolon. But how do you know that even when it's just a sofik that you can override Shabbos? De Rebbe Akiva Nami, Rava continues and says that Rebbe Akiva's source, what was Rebbe Akiva's source? Rebbe Akiva's source was that you stop a kohen in the middle of doing avoida to run to Beis Din and testify that the person who is about to be killed or is accused of doing something which is punishable by death, that he's innocent, and not to kill him. It's only a sofik, because maybe he'll come to Beis Din, and Beis Din will reject what he's saying. So sofik pikuach nefesh overrides avoida, and avoida is more stringent, as overrides Shabbos. So if sofik pikuach nefesh overrides avoida, of course it will override Shabbos. That was Rebbe Akiva's source. But now the Gemara is saying that going to Beis Din is actually not a sofik. It's a vadai pikuach nefesh. There's no chance in the world that the Beis Din will not accept and take his words seriously. And therefore, again, you only have a source that for vadai pikuach nefesh you can be doicha Shabbos, not for sofik pikuach nefesh. How can we be so sure that when this kohen comes to Beis Din, his words will certainly be accepted? Is as follows, Dilma kada Abaya, because of what Abaya said. Da'omar Abaya, Mosrinon le Zugo Durabonon. And this is based on a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Dafmen Beis Amud Beis, but as far as we're concerned here, what it means is that we send a pair of Talmidei Chachomim to this Kohen to listen to what the Kohen has to say, Leida Imamash Bedvorov, to discern whether there is substance in his words or not, and only if these two Talmidei Chachomim say, we have heard what this Kohen has to say, and it will certainly be received in Beis Din, then he stops doing the avoida and he goes to the Beis Din. So va'ashkechon vadai. So accordingly, what we found is that you can only override avoida, or we only have a source to override avoida, if it's vadai pikuach nefesh, because it's 100%. These two Talmidei Chachomim have said, you go to Beis Din, you will save this person's life. So vadai pikuach nefesh is doicha avoida, so we know that vadai pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos. Sofik minolon. But how do you know that when it's a sofik pikuach nefesh, you override Shabbos? And Rava continues, v'kulhu ashkechon vadai. He singled out Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, but he says all the other tanoim, the other four tanoim, each with their own respective sources, all of them are ashkechon vadai. They're only they could be they're only talking about when it's Vaday Pikuach Nefesh. Sofik Minolon. But you don't know that it's also talk by Sofik Pikuach Nefesh that also is Doicha Shabbos. However, or the Shmuel, the source that Shmuel brought of V'chai Bohem, that you have to do the mitzvahs only if you're 100% sure that you will be V'chai Bohem, Vaday Lesli Pircha, there's no refutation whatsoever. Because that's what V'chai Bohem says. Only do the mitzvahs if there's no risk whatsoever to your V'chai Bohem, to your continued life. And from there we learn that if doing any mitzvah is even going to put a sofik about somebody else's life or anyone's life, override the mitzvahs and save the life. Continues the Gemara, Omer Ravina, V'itemer of Nachman Bayitzchok, either Ravina or of Nachman Bayitzchok says, Tova choda pilpula charifta, one small sharp pepper, even though it's just very, very small, will have more influence on the taste of what's being cooked, mimeloy tzano de kori, more than a full basket of melons. Even though Shmuel, relative to the six tanoim, is just an amira, he's relatively smaller, so to speak, but he was very sharp in what he said. And sometimes a very sharp pepper has more influence on the taste than the volumes of melons that are in this food. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue and learn the next and last Mishnah of Maseches Yumah.